You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golza.
Laughing too hard over there. Stop laughing at me. I'm not doing anything crazy.
No, not at all.
Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at CUW.edu. Live uncommon. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Holidays around the corner, but probably not a lot of holidays that you've observed. I don't know. Just guessing. Have you observed many of these that when you look at the
I
notes?
I did. Yeah, gotta check. I did this is a long story. I'll make it the 30-second version. One of my coworkers, back in the day, her husband's family was Jewish. So I got to hear all about the festivals that they were doing. And they've got to go to Italy to do most of them because he was Italian. So lots of stories. Yeah.
In studio with us today, Rev Kevya, the Reverend Kevin Parviz, pastor of Congregation Kivi Shalom, and also with Burning Bush Ministries. Thanks so much for joining us today, Pastor. Shalom.
Shalom. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you in studio. And looking forward to talking about the upcoming fall festivals, but we're not talking about like pumpkins Are there pumpkins involved?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
They're little tiny pumpkins, but they're pumpkins nevertheless.
Do you get to eat them?
No.
Oh,
you hang them from the top of a shack.
Ah, that's Sukkot, right?
Yes.
See, I remember
that. You know all about
something. Look at that. I paid attention
in
class.
You retained knowledge.
That's right.
Nice job.
So first up is Rosh Hashanah coming up September 9th?
9th, yeah. Sundown September 9th.
So Rosh Hashanah, if I remember correctly, this is when we bake bread. Is that right?
You can bake a loaf of challah, which is a little different in that it's usually a round loaf of challah rather than the traditional look of the Shabbat challah. But it is the Feast of Trumpets, so the big deal is the blowing of the shofar, the gathering together, and it's the High Holy Days. These are the C&E holidays for the Jewish people. So, you know, most Jews who don't go to shul most of the time, they'll go on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah.
I like how you did that. You just totally related it to so many Christians. They're the C&E holidays.
Unfortunately, the ones who are C&E, right. So.
Yeah.
So Rosh Hashanah, so we bake bread. This is about the shofar. Give us a little more background on Rosh Hashanah.
Well, Rosh Hashanah is essentially the Feast of Trumpets. It is the beginning. We sort of properly understand these high holy days as kind of holy week in the fall, because we get to celebrate the sacrifice again. We get to celebrate. So these are really times for us. But in the Jewish community, what is taught, generally speaking, is that keep in mind the temple is no longer. There are no more sacrifices. We have been told by our rabbis after the destruction of the temple that we'll make our own sacrifice to God by prayer, fasting, repentance, and good works, which is not in the scriptures, but it's tradition. And so this all kind of begins at the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah. The shofar will blow, and the Jews are taught by their rabbis that God opens three books, a book of life, a book of death, and this intermediate book in which if you are absolutely righteous, you go right into the book of life. If you're absolutely wicked, you go right into the book of death. And everybody else, 99.99% of us, go into this intermediate book. And then we have the 10 days following Rosh Hashanah called the Days of Awe, which are the days in which, by prayer, fasting, repentance, and good works, we can then hope that God will take us from that intermediate book on Yom Kippur and write us into the book of life. So the traditional greeting for these holidays is, may your name be inscribed in the book of life for a good year, Lashana Tova Tikatevu in Hebrew. And that's kind of what it's relating to in the modern understanding of the high holidays.
It's interesting that seems to be a theme among a lot of religions of this intermediary place that we're not good, we're not bad. How can we talk about these things with our Jewish neighbors and friends from a Lutheran perspective and point to Christ in this?
Well, what's so interesting to me is that I always say this. I'm sure I've said this on your show before, that I do believe that God puts, even in the traditions of the Jewish people, the kernels of truth if they would but see it. And so we as Christians and Jewish believers in Jesus, we can show them the truth. And one of the readings for Rosh Hashanah is the Akedah, which is the binding of Isaac, where God orders Abraham to take his son to the top of Mount Moriah and sacrifice him, and then provides the substitute in the ram, which is why we blow the shofar. And, that tradition, even Jewish tradition, says that hill that Abraham offered Isaac for sacrifice on is the same hill that God took his own son, provided no substitute, and sacrificed him for the sins of the people. And so that connection from Abraham taking his son, and I love the way the text reads, because it says, he laid the wood for the sacrifice on his son's back. And Jesus carried his cross up to the top of that. And then, yet Abraham was so confident, he told his servants, you stay here, we're going to go up there and worship, and we'll be back. He knew somehow that God was going to keep his promise, that though he was ordered to sacrifice his son was the son of the promise, that God's promise would be kept. And so how is he going to do this? And he does that in time, by substituting Isaac with the ram, but in eternity, he does that. He keeps his promise by not giving us a substitute for Jesus, but Jesus being our substitute. So those are the connections we want to try to make with our Jewish neighbors. You know, the question is often at the end of Yom Kippur, how do you know which book your name is written in? And they don't have a good answer. I mean, most of them don't believe this stuff anyway anymore, let's face it. But some will say, well, if I live to hear the shofar next year, I know my name was in the Book of Life. Mm-hmm. And that's for 1 year, this kind of treadmill thing. And so one of the things that we do is, one of the traditions of Rosh Hashanah is apples and honey. And you eat sweet foods on Rosh Hashanah for a sweet year. And so we'll give baskets of apples and honey to our Jewish friends and say, may your name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life on the card. And give them, hopefully through that, give them the gospel of what the Lamb's Book of Life is. Because there is a Book of Life. I mean, these traditions that the Jewish people have come through the scriptures, which clearly, there's a book that God blots your name out of if you're evil. And there's the Lamb's Book of Life that at the end of Revelation, it talks about all those who, who come through his blood will be written into the Lamb's Book of Life. So how do you get there? And I think that makes for a really good conversation. And this time of year, it's probably about the best time of year, and maybe the only time of year, that most Jewish people are even thinking spiritual things. So,
Lashana Tova.
Tikutevu.
Tikutevu.
May your name be inscribed for a good year.
How do you say, may your name be inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life?
In English. Because they
English.
Wouldn't get that otherwise.
Because they wouldn't, it just
they wouldn't understand it. So.
Wouldn't
Does
make
not
sense.
Translate.
Yeah.
So, Lashana Tova, bread. Why is the bread round, for the challah bread round for Rosh Hashanah?
I mean, it's just because it's this picture of the circle of the year coming back around, much like our liturgical circle as well. So,
bread, apples, honey.
Sounds.
Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah.
Good.
And no nuts.
Ah.
Yeah, nuts. There's a whole tradition of the same letters used for the word nuts is the same letters used for the word sin. So in Hebrew. So you don't eat any nuts because you don't want to eat any sin. So
so just apples, honey.
Yeah, apples and honey and
some bread.
Good challah.
Yom Kippur and Sukkot coming up in the near future as well.
Correct? Well, Yom Kippur is the culmination of when the trumpet blows on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. That's when God writes your name from one of the two books. So it really is one holiday, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, bookending these 10 days of awe. It's a continuum. And then Sukkot, Which is the following festival. It is a festival where we're reminded that God carried us through the wilderness. He gave us shelter. Our clothes didn't wear out. He provided for our food and our drink and our lives and delivered us into the promised land. So the little booths that we build are to remind us of the booths that we had in the wilderness. And it's a celebration of Thanksgiving.
And this is when we camp.
Yeah,
right?
Camping. We used to camp and take telescopes and look at the sky and look at the stars, and I'm done camping. So
you're living in the promised land now.
Yeah, 40 years was long enough, right? But yeah, a lot of times camping. In fact, I know a group of Christians who are going on a long camp out coming up for Sukkot, and they're asking me to actually do some teaching, and told them I wouldn't stay the night. So
so after Sukkot, that's still in September, give us a preview of what comes up after that.
Well, of course, Hanukkah comes up. Yeah, Hanukkah, which is not, of course, a scriptural holiday. It comes in the middle parts of the books,
the intertestamental period
between Malachi and Matthew. So in the Jewish calendar, the next festival really is not until the spring. Maybe Purim you could count, which is late winter. God knows the weather in Israel, and so these pilgrimage festivals, he didn't set them up in the winter or the summer, because they're hard to travel in. So he gives us all in the fall and the spring. So when it's nice in Israel and it's after the rainy season and we can camp on the hillsides. Yeah.
Yeah, you could still camp in the fall. Yeah, September's a great time to... What is it?
That would be my favorite time.
Late September this year for Sukkot.
Like poison ivy.
Oh, no.
Late September it should be.
I don't like poison ivy.
Winding down. So Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, all coming up in September this year, and then we get into Hanukkah later on in December as well. It's early this year, isn't it?
Everything is early this year. The Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar, so mm-hmm. we're in the cycle of early, and we're going to get a leap month here pretty soon. So
Fascinating. Well, Lashana Tova. Tikka Tevu.
Or you can just say Lashana Tova. Everybody knows what that means.
Lashana Tova.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Pastor Parviz,
High holidays. And we're building a sukkah at our place in the back. So come on over and hang a pumpkin.
Yeah. What do we eat at Sukkot?
Everything. Fruits, a lot of fruit. Right. And it's traditional to actually take a meal in the sukkah. We tend, and it stays up for, you know, about 10 days, so it's a place to hang. Unfortunately, you know, Missouri is not the greatest climate, so you sit outside with bugs.
Yeah. September, it'll be beautiful, I bet.
It should be nice.
Congregation Kyvie Shalom here in St. Louis, Burning Bush Ministries as well. If we want to follow what you're doing, we can follow you. You have some stuff online too, right?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page and we have a website. It's the easiest way to get to any of our websites really is lije.org or chaivashalom.com, but spell that, I dare you.
Thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Thanks for having me over.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
That does it for the Coffee Hour. The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.